Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Beitza has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Friedman, Leila Nishmas, Menachem Ben Yosef, and Tzina Devora Bas Yechiel.
Beya Daf Yud. One of the theories that the Gemara asks between the shittas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that on the one hand we find that Beis Shammai is the one who's more mekel when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel is the one who's more machmir, and on the other hand we find the exact opposite, is once again from the Mishnah of Ashoichet Chayev Va'op Yom Tov, where Beis Shammai say, Yachbar B'deker V'yachase, and Beis Hillel say that you're not allowed to shecht unless you have Afer Muchem Nibo'od Yom. And the Gemara asks a steer between that and the case of moving an Eli, which is a kli, a fat slab of wood, which was used for chopping up wheat. And Beis Shammai say that you're not allowed to move this Eli to do something which is actually mutter on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel say you're allowed to. What's the reason why Beis Shammai say you're not allowed to? Rashi says, Vahave malachta le'iser. This is a klisha malachta le'iser, because Savri Beis Shammai aser letatle va'afilu le'tzorich gufoy. We know that the Mishnah says in Shabbos and Perakol HaKelim that you're allowed to be metaltel a klisha malachta le'iser. For example, a hammer, lifzei ba'egoizim, to crack nuts, which is a tashmish of heter on Shabbos, and you're allowed to be metaltal the kli, which is designated for iser, kli shemalata le'iser, litzorich gufay. Since you need to use the kli itself for a tashmish shel heter, that tiltal is mutter. Says Rashi, Beis Shammai do not agree with that halacha. However, Tosfos later on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, on that Mishnah itself, where Beis Shammai say, "Ein neutlin esel eli likatzev al basar," Tosfos say, "Why not? V'tema hatzarich legufa. You need it for its own self. You need it for a tashmish shel heter, which you're allowed to. V'chol klisha tzarich legufay oyle mekaymay afilu malate leiser neutlin oisev biyomtiv." So Tosfos, in answer to their question over there, brings down the Gemara in Perakol HaKelim, Kufchav Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that we're talking about Mukta Sheyesh Bechsar and Kis. Even if you're allowed to metaltal a klisha melatal is letzorich gufay or letzorich mekaymay, but if it's mukta sheyesh bechsar and kis, which means it's a very expensive item, and people generally speaking are miyachad lem mokim, they leave it in one place and they're not metaltal it, then it's mukta lekuli alma. And then you're not even allowed to be metaltal it letzorich gufay or mekaymay. So if you take a look over there at the Gemara in Daf Kufchav Gimel Amud Aleph and Shabbos, you'll see that these are really two pshatim that the Gemara has. According to one Mandiyomar, and that is the Amoira Rav Yehuda, who holds that you're not allowed to be metaltal a kli shemalachta le'isr l'tzorich gufay mekoymoy, then the svara behind Beis Shammai is very simple. You're not allowed to be metaltal even if you're using it for something that's mutter on Yom Tif, like chatiches basar. However, according to the Mandiyomar Rava, who says that you're allowed to be metaltal a kli shemalachta isr l'tzorich gufay l'tzorich mekoymoy, the Gemara has to explain that the reason why it's usr is because of mukta machmas chesar and kis. What was it that made Rashi explain the reasoning behind Beis Shammai based on the Gemara's Havamin over there? Rashi is forcing Beis Shammai to hold that you're not allowed to be metaltal a klisha melachta le'iser l'tzorich gufay mekaymai. Now, why say that? Why can't we say that even l'man yamar that you're allowed to be metaltal a klisha melachta le'iser l'tzorich gufay mekaymai, nevertheless, when it's muktzah machmas chesar and kis, you're not allowed to be metaltal it? The answer is very simple. Our Gemara gives a hesber as to why the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel does not show anything about Simchas Yom Tov. The Gemara says, "Ad kan lekamri Beis Hillel hacha ela deika toris kli alav." The reason why Beis Hillel allow you to move the eli lekatzav alav basar is not because they're more mekel leinyan Simchas Yom Tov, rather because the eli has a toris kli alav. Now, what is meant by toris kli alav? So Rashi says, "Va'afal pisham lachta leiser mutar letatle letzer gufay." Rashi understands that the rule that you're allowed to be metaltal a kli shem lachta leiser letzer gufay mekaymay is because it has a toris kli. Meaning to say that when something doesn't have a teres kli, such as eitzim va'avonim, it's called mukta machmas gufay. And that, you're not allowed to be metaltal for any purpose. That's real mukta. Once something has a teres kli, so chachamim did not aser its tiltal entirely. There's a special din called gzeres kalim that we only allowed you to move it for certain purposes. And as is Mavur in the Gemara in the beginning of Perakol HaKilim, these are two separate takanas. They actually happen at different points in history. So if the problem that Beis Shammai was describing was because it's a regular Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser, and Beis Shammai hold that you're not allowed to be metatl a Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser L'Tzer Gufei Mekoymai, it would be appropriate to respond to that by saying that no, we hold that you're allowed to be metatl it since it has a Teres Kli. However, if Beis Shammai's reason is because of Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis, then you haven't taken care of that problem by saying that it has a Teres Kli. All of the cases that are described in Perakol HaKelim of Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis are Kelim. And even so, they're usher to move, even Litzarech Gufay, Litzarech Mekaymai, Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis ignores the fact that it has a Teres Kli. It says that although it does have a Teres Kli, but people are Miyachet L'Mokim, and it's not Muchen for Tiltel. So why would I care that it has a Teres Kli? As a matter of fact, we now have to ask the question on Tosfos. Rashi makes a lot of sense. Because the fact that the Gemara is capable of saying that Beis Hillel are Mater the Tiltel because it has a Teres Kli shows that this is not Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis. Muktzah Machmas Chesaron Kis is a Muktzah that would not care if it has a Teres Kli on it. The only type of Muktzah that we ever see that Chazal allowed their tiltel based on a Teres Kli is Kli Shemalachta Le'Isser, Lefi the Man Yomer, that you're allowed to move it, Letzer Gufay Umekoymoy. So if you take a look at the Magen Avram in the end of Simen Tov Kuf Tes, and Rabbi Kiva Eiger in Simen Tov Tzadik Tes, you'll see that the answer to this question is as follows. As we've discussed already a few times in this series, there are two aspects to the Isser Muktzah, at least according to some Rishonim, and the Magen Avram goes with these Rishonim. There is the Isser Tiltel and the Isser Achila or Hishtamshus. The Isser Tiltel, the Magen Avram says, is Mutter L'Tzorich Eichel Nefesh. And that's really the Lashon of the Ramah at the end of Simen Tov Kuf Tes, U'Mutter L'Taltel Muktzah L'Tzorich Eichel Nefesh V'Simchas Yomtiv. Since you're allowed to do Melachis L'Tzorich Eichel Nefesh, you're also allowed to be Metaltel Muktzah. However, says the Magen Avram, even though you're allowed to be Metaltel Muktzah B'Shvil Eichel Nefesh, but you're not allowed to eat or be Mishtamish with Muktzah. And that's why he says you're not allowed to use atzei muktzah to make a fire in order to cook. Therefore, if you'll ask, why is it that you're allowed to be metaltel a kli, which is muktzah machmas chesaron kis, the answer is that tiltel muktzah is mutter for simchas yomtiv. And that even Beis Shammai can agree to. However, since muktzah machmas chesaron kis is a type of muktzah, Beis Shammai say, it's true that you may be litzarech oichol nefesh, you're allowed to be metaltel muktzah, but you're not allowed to be mishtamish with muktzah. So therefore, they're not matter you to take the eli lekatzev alav basar. On that aspect of muktzah, the iser hishtamshus b'muktzah, according to the Magen Avram, Beis Hillel respond by saying that by a kli, it's different. Something that has on it a shem kli, they were more mekel even legabe hishtamshus b'muktzah. Now he doesn't explain why this is, but it could be that the Hesber is that this aspect of Muktzah, the Chelek that tells us that you're not allowed to be Mishtamish with Muktzah, is essentially rooted in the Pasuk of Ve'echinu es Esher Yaviyu. The Pasuk that Rabbah brings down, the Gemara says on Daf Beis Mebeis, that Rabbah holds that Muktzah is Da'iraisa, things need Hachana. You have to have Mikan Ani Oichel L'Mochar. A person has to prepare before Shabbos or Yom Tov that which he plans on consuming. And from that, even those that disagree with Rabbah and hold Muktzah is not Da'iraisa, but they have that Pasuk as an Asmachta to tell us that you're not allowed to eat or be mishtamish with muktzah that was not prepared before Yom Tov. Something that has on it a Teres Kli is oimid for shimush. Even if the derech is to be miyachid l'makim, so its tiltel is something that generally is not done, it nevertheless is something that people automatically relate to as something that they could use. Because that's the whole tachlis of a kli. A kli is oimid for usage. So lefizeh it comes out that according to Tosfos, who holds that the whole problem according to Beis Shammai is muktzah machmas chesaron kis, we still can understand why Beis Hillel would respond to that by saying that it has a teiras kli. And this is what you actually see in a number of places. For example, one of the places where it's mavur that there's an added element to muktzah, and that even though on Yom Tov you're allowed to be metaltel muktzah, letzorech ochel nefesh, nevertheless there's another element which is not mutter on Yom Tov, dahainu the iser hishtamshus b'muktzah, is the sugya of bekas and daf lamed gimel. There we learn about a piece of wood which it says that you're not allowed to use to be soymech hasakdeira. You can't use it to support something, even though you're allowed to use it for firewood. The Marsha over there in the sugya explains that although Tiltel would be mutter, because tiltel you're allowed to do. Litzerich eichel nefesh, litzerich yomtif. But the problem is with being mishtamish with muktzah. Because the only ishtamshis that you're allowed to do with wood is for hasaka. Leinitnu etzim ela lahasaka. Now the Ran over there in the sugya says as follows. He says, Lefish leinitnu etzim ela lahasaka pirish shekivan she'ein miyuchadim ela lahasaka bulvat. Since wood is only designated for firewood, ein toiras kli aleihem. And therefore he says, Yeshlam din muktzah legabi shar melachas. Umihu. Nevertheless, says the Ran, b'midi di'ika teres kli alei, something that does have a teres kli, shari l'shtamushi bei afilu l'malacha she'enem yuchidla. You're allowed to use it even for the malacha that it's not designated for. So Eitzim only have a hachana l'inyin hasaka, but something that has a teres kli, you see that you could use it for other purposes as well. That's why he says you're allowed to be mesikin bekelim. You're allowed to take a kli and use that as firewood. Because a kli has an automatic hachana. It's oimid for any use that you want. Now another discussion that's related to this concerns the next kasha that the Gemara asks. The Gemara asks a stira, again, between the Mishnah of Ashechet Chayev Oif Yamtif, where Beis Shammai are Mekon Simchas Yamtif, and Beis Hillel are Machmir, and the din of Ein Noisten Esa'or Lefnei Adarsan V'Loyag Bienu. You're not allowed to place a piece of leather which was removed from an animal that was Nishchata B'Yamtif. V'Loyag Bienu, you're not allowed to pick it up. Elohim Kain Yeshalov Kazayis Basar, unless there is a Kazayis Basar attached to it. Ubeis Hillel Matirin. Cesar Kveger, don't think that the Gemara is asking the stira, it's asking from the fact that Beis Hillel is matir to pick up the piece of leather. And that shows that they're makel in the din of Simchas Yomtif, because the heter to pick up the piece of leather could be explained very simply using the principle that we said earlier, that the Ramah brings down, you're allowed to be metaltal muktzah, litzarech, oichel nefesh, or Simchas Yomtif. And even though the picking up of the oird, of the leather, it does not directly involve Simchas Yomtif, nevertheless, there's a rule called Hetiru Soifa Mishum Tchilase. If we don't allow a person to be metaltal at the end, the oird of the animal, he won't be Shoicha the animal to begin with, and then he'll be Nimna, he'll hold himself back from Simchas Yomtif. So a lot of things were matir to ensure that the person will involve himself in Simchas Yomtif. So what was the Gemara's kasha? In what way do we see a stira between Beis Hillel, who says that you're not allowed to be shoychet unless you have afer muchmid ba'od yoim, and the Beis Hillel that say that you're allowed to be magbia, even though it doesn't have a kazayis basar? Says Reb Kveger, the kasha of the Gemara is not from the hagbah, from picking up of the ur, rather from the resha, which says, ein noisten esa'ar lefnei adar, so you're not allowed to place it in front of people that are going to step on it, which is a necessary step in the ibud, in the tanning process of oirois, and this Beis Hillel is also matir. And the question is, it's mechsiki ibud. It looks like you're doing meleches ibud. Nevertheless, Beis Hillel is matir, presumably because of Simchas Yomtif. So that's the stira. Because we don't find that Beis Hillel is matir things other than tiltul for the purposes of Simchas Yomtif. Just like they're not matir to do the shechita because it involves either the iser of making a guma or being mishtamish with muktzah for the purposes of kisui. Now, the problem with saying this pshat, and Rabbi Kveger is aware of this problem, is that the Gemara, when it comes to answer the question, the stira that we ask, and explains why Beis Hillel would be matir to place the Ar Lefnei Adarsan, although in other places we find that they're machmir when it comes to Simchas Yomtif, the Gemara says that Ar is different because it is chazi lemizgalayu, it is roi to lean on. Now, Bishlama, if the question that the Gemara was asking was mitzad the hagbah of the ur, the tiltal of the ur, then we could understand what the Gemara is answering when it says chazi l'mizga alayu, because although, generally speaking, it's usher to be metaltal something that's not roi for anything, that's muktzah, but when it's roi for something, it's chazi l'mizga alayu, then it's not muktzah, it has a purpose on yomtif. But since Reb Kveger explained to us that we're not asking from that part of the Shitas Beis Hillel, because that, of course, is mutter, because tiltal is mutter litzarech eichel nefesh, even if it's not chazil mizgalayu. Rather, our question is from noisten lifnei hadarsin, the fact that Beis Hillel will allow you to place it in front of the feet of the people that are going to step on it, even though it's mechsi ki ibud. So how does the Gemara answer that question by saying that it's chazil mizgalayu? Says Reb Kveger, you have to say that what the Gemara means is that it's not really mechsi ki ibud. It doesn't look like you're tanning because it's the derech of people to lean on this thing and to use it as a carpet, so it doesn't appear as if you're actually tanning the leather. Based on this hesber in the Gemara, Reb Akiva Eiger answers the kasha that Pri Chodesh asks on the Ramah in Siman Tav Tzadik Tes. Over there in Sif Gimel, the Ramah paskins that it's mutter to be metaltal the feathers of a bird that was nishchat on Yom Tif, in order that he shouldn't lose those feathers. And the Ramah is medama this to the din that we just learned, that you're allowed to move the skin and place it in a mokam drisis raglayim. Says the Ramah, noitzois shel oif dinan kemoi ba'or. The mutter letatlon kedei lehatzion kemoi ba'or. So he says, just like you're allowed to be magbia sa'or, you're also allowed to move the feathers. There's no difference. Said the Pri Chodesh, why should you be allowed to move the feathers? How could you be medama that to the or? Or we just learned in our Gemara that it's chazi lemizgalayu, so it's roi for something. Since it's roi for something, you're allowed to be metaltal it, and you can't prove anything from there to feathers that right now they're not roi for any purpose on Yom Tov. Says Reb Akiva Eiger, that's true. The feathers have no purpose on Yom Tov. But the reason why you're allowed to move the ur is not because Chazi Lemizgalayu. As Reb Akiva Eiger explained, Chazi Lemizgalayu is not coming to take care of the problem of Tiltum Muktzah, because Tiltum Muktzah is Mutter Litzarich Eichel Nefesh and Simchas Yom Tov. And since we want to make sure the person originally does the Shechita, we're Matir Soifai, we allow him to be metalto the things afterwards so that he doesn't lose them, like the skin and the feathers. The reason why we have to discuss Chazi Lemizgalayu is to explain why you're allowed to put it Lefnei HaDarsan, why you're allowed to put it in front of people's feet, even though it's Mechsi Ki'ibut. So in that we say that it's not Mechsi Ki'ibut because it's Chazi Lemizgalayu. Therefore, says Reb Akiva Eiger, this has nothing to do with the feathers. The feathers don't have the added problem. They only have one problem, Tiltal. Tiltal, we explained, doesn't have a problem because Mishum Simchas Yomt, if you're allowed to be Metalto Muktzah. The final stira that the Gemara asks concerning the shita of Beishamim Beisilil as to whether they're mekel or machmir in Simchas Yomtiv is again from the case of Ashoichei Tchaye Ba'ofi Yomtiv to the case of a Mesalkinus Atresim Beyomtiv. They used to have portable stores, and in order to sell things, they would remove the tris, which was like a door, and take it off its hinge, and they would place things on that door. Beishamai say you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to remove the tris on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel say you're even allowed to return it. When you're finished selling things and you want to lock up the store, you're allowed to put the door back on. Now, over here, the person was providing others with their needs for Yom Tov. So you see that Beis Hillel are being more mekel concerning Simchas Yom Tov, and Beishamai are being more machmer. Unlike the case of the Mishnah of Ashoichet Chayev Oif Yom Tov, where Beis Shammai is Mekel and Beis Hillel is Machmer. So the Gemara is aware that we could give the teretz to the stira in Shittas Beis Shammai like we did throughout the Sugya, that there's a difference between whether there's a Deker notes and there's no Deker notes. But the stira in Beis Hillel we still have. Says Rabbi Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. Now there is a girsa that continues. We have this girsa. The Gemara explains that even according to Shittas Beis Hillel, there's no stira because ad kan lekamri Beis Hillel hacha elo mishum de ein binyan bekelim ve ein stira bekelim. The reason why they're matir the removal of the tritzim on Yom Tov is because there's really no problem of stira bekelim, and that's why you're allowed to put them back because there's no din of binyan bekelim. Now in Tosfos Daf Tes Mabez de Bramaschel Amr Rabbi Yochanan, it's mavur that they do not have this girsa. And even according to Rashi, we can prove that he doesn't have the girsa either. Because in the Gemara's Kasha, when the Gemara asked the Stira, Rashi says the following. In Dibra Maschel Afla Hachzir, Rashi says, Vafilu damrinan ein binya bekelim. Even if we say ein binyan bekelim, it doesn't make a difference. Because tircha adalav tzoyruch miyahava. It is an unnecessary tircha. You're not allowed to do extra tircha on Yom Tov that you don't need to. Because sharin alay mishum tchilosan, and we're being matir because of the tchila, because we want to make sure that everybody gets their tzorcha Yom Tov. So you see in Rashi that even in the kasha, we knew that ein binyan bekelim. And we still ask the question. So it's not going to help us to say that they still hold ein binyan bekelim ve'ein stir bekelim. Because we have another issue, which is tircha. However, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, they bring down that this is the Girs of the Rif. That Lamaskana, the Gemara comes out, even Lagabi, the case of Misalkin, Esatrisin, there's no stira between Beis Hillel's Shita by Sheikhet Chayev Va'oif, that they're Machmer, and the case of the Trisin where they are Mekel, because Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim. Now you have to say, according to this, that the Havamin of the Gemara, when we asked the Stira, was not yet aware that Ein Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim. The Gemara thought Yesh Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim, and still Beis Hillel is Mater because of Simchas Yom Tov. And it would also have to come out, according to this, that even though there was a Havamin that Yesh Binyan V'Stira B'Kalim, it clearly was only a Dindra Abonin. Because if we thought in the Havamina that Yesh Binyan Vistir Bekalim Midin Dairaisa, then we wouldn't have been matter such a thing mitam Simchas Yomtiv. Simchas Yomtiv could be Chazal's reason for being matter things that they answered. But to be matter a Dairaisa, we never would do for Simchas Yomtiv. And that's because, like Tosis points out in Shabbos, Dafkub Beis Mebeis, that the only time that the Mandi Amar Yesh Binyan Vistir Bekalim would be Mechayev you is by a binyan gomer, when you're being mechaber two things in a permanent way and not with the removal or returning of a door onto its hinge. The Mishnah says, Beishamay oimrim lo yitoil elim kein nanea miboid yoim. A person is not allowed to take birds from their nest in order to shech them unless he was minanea before yomtiv. Meaning, he needs to be mechin it not only through dibur, he has to even do a maisa of shaking the bird. Beis Hillel say that all you have to do is say, Ze v'ze ani noitel. If you're oimeid v'oimer, ze v'ze ani noitel, that's enough of a hachana. Now, what type of birds are we talking about in this Mishnah? So the Magid Mishnah in Hilchas Yomtiv, Perek Beis Halacha Hei, brings a machlokes b'shoinim. The sheet of the Rashba is that it's only Yonei Shoivach. We're talking about the type of birds that are barely able to fly. They could hop around a little bit, but they cannot fly away. And the reason is because in our Mishnah you see that the only problem that we're trying to overcome is the problem of Muktzah. And therefore it helps if you just say Zev Zani Noitel if you're Minaneya. But whatever happened to the Isser Tzeda? You're not allowed to trap an animal or a bird on Yom Tif, as is Mavur in the beginning of Perek Ein Tzadin. So why would I be allowed to take the bird on Yom Tif? Ein Echanami, there's no problem of Muktzah, but there's the Raisa problem of Tzeda. However, says the Magen Mishnah, Yesh Matirin Bezimun B'chol Gavna. There are those that are matir even in regular yoinim, and not just the yoinim that are so small that they can't fly away. Lefi she'ein yoinei shoivach tzrichen tzeda ma'alya. The yoinim of a shoivach don't need a proper tzeda. And the Magen Mishnah says that it seems that the Rambam holds like this second way. And we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is the Rambam, the Bala Itter, who also goes like Shitzah Rambam, what are they going to do with the Taina of the Rashba, that there's a problem of Tzeda when it gets older? What does it mean that Yoinei Shoivach don't need a Tzeda Ma'alya? So the terence to this question is that Yoinei Shoivach are already programmed to come back to the Shoivach at all times. Even if they fly away, they'll come back home. So the Rambam does not see a person taking the Yoinei out of the Shoivach as being an act of Tzeda. Because tzeda means to capture an animal or an oif that was running loose and taking it under your shlita. Since yoinei shoivach are already under your shlita, this does not constitute a malacha of tzeda. The Rashba, on the other hand, holds that this would constitute a malacha of tzeda. What's their machloikis? We can say that they're arguing about the famous machloikis as to how to be magdir the malacha of tzeda. Now, the Nezer discusses this in Chelik Arachayim, Simen Kuf Tzarek Dalet. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky talks about it in Ksuba Simen Dalet. And the question is, what is the malacha of tzeda? Generally speaking, in malachis Shabbos, some sort of change happens in the chayfetz. When you cook something, for example, you changed it. Before it was raw, now it became cooked. And in fact, Tosfos in the beginning of Shabbos, the Beis Medalef in Shabbos, explains the reason why we need a special pasuk from the malacha of Haitzah, and that is because Haitzah is not really a change in the chayfetz. You only change its location. Tosfos calls that a malacha grua. And the question that Adinezer has is, why isn't Tzeda also called a Malacha Gru? We should need an extra pasuk for Tzeda. There are two possible ways to answer this question. According to the Adinezer, you really don't have to generate a change in the Cheftza. It's enough that the person has now been mishtalet. He now is in control of this animal. So that's one way to define the Malachas Tzeda. The person's asserting his shlita over the animal. However, from the Maram Kazis, in the end of Perek Ha'orig, it's mashma, that a real change has taken place in the animal because the freedom of the animal has been removed. One famous nafgamina between these two tzadim, as to whether tzeda is defined as asserting yourself over the animal by being shoylet over it, or by removing the freedom of the animal, is the machloikis, the Tor, and the Sefer HaTrumis in Simen Shinte Zayin. The Tor brings down from the Sefer HaTrumis that you're not allowed to close a box that has flies in it unless you leave a little space so that the flies can fly out. And the Tor argues in the Sefer HaTrumis because he says that the flies are not really nitzoiden in this box when you close it, because in order for tzeda to have been accomplished, you have to be able to take the fly. Now, if you open the box in order to get the fly, he's going to fly out. What's the Hesber and the Machlokes? It would seem that the Sefer Trumas holds that the moment you trap a fly, you've taken away his freedom, and therefore he's considered Nitzoid. So if you close the box and now he can't fly out, you've just trapped him. Even though the person now doesn't yet have shlita over the fly, because if he'll open the box, he will not have to fly anyway. It's going to fly away. But as far as the fly objectively is concerned, the fly is trapped. However, the Torah understands that the Meleches Tzeda is defined as having shlita over the animal or the insect or bird, whatever it is. If we want to express the Tut Stadim in English, we could say that the Chakira is the Meleches Tzeda trapping or is it capturing? Trapping means that you've taken away the freedom of the animal. He's trapped. The animal can't go anywhere. These flies are not able to fly away, so they're trapped. You've taken away their freedom. But capturing denotes that the person now has it under his shlita. Now, what happens if you have a case in which the Baal Chai is going to automatically come back to you if you let him loose? So for all intents and purposes, he's already tachas shlitascha. And then you go and lock it up. So if the melacha is to trap it and to make sure that it cannot fly away, so you've done that. You've taken away its freedom. However, if the melacha is to capture it, you have to put it underneath your shlita. If it's already under your shlita and it's going to fly back, so the fact that you now lock the house doesn't do anything. So that could be the machloikis between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam understands that the melacha of tzeda is to get it underneath your shlita. And therefore, yoinei shoivach, since they're always going to fly back home, even if they're old enough to fly away, there's no melachas tzeda by them. Because that's not a tzeda ma'alya, they're automatically going to come home. You're not asserting yourself over the bird now. The bird was already tachash litascha. Masha'en came, the Rashba understands that tzeda means trapping. Tzeda means taking away the freedom, the ability for the bird to fly away. So we don't care that the bird was planning on coming home in the event that he does fly away. We care that you've taken away its ability to fly away. By removal of the bird's freedom, you've been over the melachas tzeda. So therefore, the Rashba says that we have to be talking about birds that are incapable of flying away. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami machloikes bevrecha rishoyne. The machloikes between Beishame and Beishil is only with regards to the first zug, the first pair of yoinim that the mother gave birth to. Usually, the Megadla yoinim leave the first pair of that year to keep the mother company. And since that's the derech, Beishame is goyzer dilma asilim luche. Even if the person was mazmin bepeh, he said, zevza ani noitel, we're afraid that he's going to be goyzer. If he does an act of being minan neya, then we believe that he's much more serious about it and he won't change his mind. But if he just says it bepeh, then we're goyzer is going to change his mind. And why is that a problem if he changes his mind? Rashi says, Gazrinan kishakalu lamachar, if he takes it the next day on Yom Tif, then he's going to change his mind, and it'll be chayas alai, he'll have rachmanis, and not take them out. It will turn out that he's going to have moved the birds for no purpose on Yom Tif. Which means that Rashi holds that even when the person changes his mind, he is not undoing the hachana that he made on Erev Yom Tif, because Rashi doesn't say that the problem is that he'll pick it up, and then he'll change his mind, and then it'll turn out that he moved muktzah on Yom Tif. He says the problem is that by picking it up and then changing his mind, it turns out that he was metaltal shaloi litzorich. However, Tosfos on the Beis Amud Aleph, the Bemaschil Dilma, and the Baal Amor, also over there in the beginning of the Masechta, both say that the reason for Beis Shammai is because of muktzah. Because they hold that if the person is imluche, if he does change his mind, then he's being mevatel, he's being choizer from the hachana that he did yesterday, and it goes back to being muktzah. Now, what's confusing about Rashi is that in the last sugya, Rashi, the Bar Maschil Avo, when the Gemara was asking a stira between the Shita of Beis Shammai, that they're Mekel and Simchas Yom Tov by Shoichet Chayev Oif, and over here they say that you need to be Menaneya. So the Gemara said that B'Shechet Chayev Oif, you have a Decker Notes, and in the case of the Goizel's Hour Mishnah, you don't have a Decker Notes, or the equivalent. And Rashi says the Lashon, the Kivan, the Mimlich, since the person changed his mind, but Lala Azman al Mafreya. So over there, Rashi seems to explain like Tosfos. So quite a few Achronim asked this Kasha, the Stira in Rashi. The Rosh Yosef, the Big Day Yom Tif from Shlomo Kluger, the Maram, and the Beis Amud Aleph. Now the Big Day Yom Tif is Miyashiv the Stira as follows. He says that what's the pshat in Rashi on the top of the Amid, where he says that you were mevatel the hazmana l'mafreya? How is it that because the person chose not to use it, that's called being mevatel the hazmana? After all, the person did hazmana. He prepared it for Yom Tov. Just because a person doesn't use it, why does that say that now the hazmana is batal? So he says it must be that Rashi is of the opinion that a person cannot be mazman more than he needs for the Yom Tov. Just like the Mechaber Paskins in Simen Tov Tzadik Zayin, Sifir Aleph, im Zimen Kol HaShoivach, ve'ein Tzarech El Lezug, if he is mezamen the whole Shoivach, the entire nest of Yoinim, and he only needs one pair, ein emoil, the hazmana doesn't help. So Rashi holds as well that if you're mazben more than what you needed, then your hazmana doesn't help. Therefore, as soon as the person is nimlach, he changes his mind and he says, I don't want to take these yoinim anymore. So the hazmana that he did was really not letzarech yomtif. And that's the pshat in Rashi before, who says that your hazmana is batal l'mafreya. Says the bigdei yomtif, that only works if you hold yesh breira. Meaning that an event that happens later could be mevar l'mafreya what the halachic status was earlier. So since the person decided that he doesn't want to use these yonim anymore, it's hovar adavar l'mafreya that there wasn't l'tzarech yomtif, and that's mevatal l'hazmona. That's only if you hold yesh breira. Says the Bigdei Yomtiv, since in our sugya we find out that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold, at least according to one mahalach in the Gemara, ein breira, and even according to the other mahalach in the Gemara, at least Beis Shammai hold ein breira. As you see from the whole example, the Gemara brings down about the case of the mace that is in a bayis, and there are many doors, and the person chooses later to be moitzi the mace from the house using one of the doors. We don't say that it's mafreya mevara, that the other doors were not tame, and the things that were inside the doorways were not tame, because Beis Shammai shita is that ein breira. So since our sugya states clearly that Beis Shammai shita is ein breira, Rashi does not want to explain that the dilma asilim luche means that it's going to be mevatel the hazmana l'mafreya, because to be mevatel the hazmana l'mafreya, you have to apply the principle of breira, and Beis Shammai less lo breira. That's the shikol Torah of the Bigdei Yomtiv. However, from the Maram and the Beis Meralf, it seems like you could give a much simpler hesber in Rashi, such that there's no stira in Rashi at all. Because even though Rashi, in the top of the Amud, does say at the end of the Rashi, Dekivin de Mimlich, Batla la Hazmana la Mafreya, so the Achranim are asking that he says what Rashi says in our Sugya, that when you're Nimlach, when you change your mind, it turns out to be a Tiltal Shaloy Litzayrich, and he doesn't say that it's Mevatla ya Hazmana la Mafreya. Nevertheless, if you take a look at the beginning of the Rashi on top of the Amud, Rashi says the same thing as he does over here. He says, Dilma Mimlich, maybe you'll change your mind, v'ishtakach detilta lebichdi, and it turns out that you moved it for no reason. Then Rashi finishes off and says, dekivin de Mimlich, batal hazmana l'mafreya. So Rashi is actually saying both things. He says, number one, that since you were Nimlich, you changed your mind, it's mevatal hazmana l'mafreya, but he also says exactly what he says in our sugya, that by moving it, you're moving something for no reason. It's tiltu shloi letzarech. There he says the word tiltu b'chdi. Over here he says the word tiltu shloi letzarech, which essentially means the same thing. So we have to now ask, why does Rashi over there say both hezberim? So I believe that the answer to this question, and really it seems like Maram goes with this answer, and that is that la'olam Rashi is in full agreement with Tosfos. He holds that when you change your mind, that's mevatel hazmona. However, even if you're mevatel hazmona, the worst that can happen is now it's muktzah. So you're metaltal muktzah. What's the problem with moving muktzah? We already explained that letzorech echel nefesh, you're allowed to move muktzah. The teretz is that since you don't need it letzorech echel nefesh, it turns out that you moved muktzah shaloi letzorech. It never bothers us if a person moves muktzah when it's letzorech echel nefesh. But the combination of the fact you're mevatel hazmona and now it turns out that it's muktzah, and the fact that now you're moving something that's muktzah, not letzorech echel nefesh, is the problem. So Rashi doesn't mean when he says tiltel shloi letzorech that it's a problem of moving something shloi letzorech if it's not muktzah. He means since you're mevatel hazmona and you made it not muchen, you made it back into muktzah, there's a problem. And that's what the Maram says over there. He says that tiltel, after you change your mind, is tiltel iser muktzah shloi letzorech. So it comes out that there's no stira in Rashi. That's what Rashi means in our sugi as well. When Rashi says that it's tiltel shloi letzorech, it means tiltel muktzah shloi letzorech. And it comes out that there's no machlokes Rashi and Tosfos either. The Gemara asks a kasha on Beis Hillel. Since Beis Hillel hold that it's enough to say zev ze ani noitel, so you don't have to be menaneya. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that you have to specify which ones you're going to use? Why isn't it enough to say mikan ani noitel lemocher? Make a general statement about all the birds, and then tomorrow you'll be mevarer. The Gemara says, perhaps you'll say that Beis Hillel don't hold of breira. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Alois to show that Beis Hillel's Shita is that they do hold a Breira. The Mishnah in Alois is discussing the case where you have a mace in a house, And we know that the din is that anything that's in the house becomes tummy. Not only do things in the house become tummy, but even things that are in the doorways that the mace is soifei lotzeis boy. That door that the mace, that you plan on taking the mace out of, the chalal ha-pesach, what's in the chalal of the doorway, also becomes tummy. Any Pesach that you do not plan on taking the mace out of, the things inside those doorways do not become tummy. So the Mishnah says, "Hamace bebayis v'loy psachim harbe." When you have a mace in the house and it has many psachim, now you don't know which one it's going to go out through. So it says, "Kulon tmeim." Items that are found in any of the doorways will become tummy. Then the Mishnah goes on to discuss what happens if you are chishev, you thought, you made a decision that you're going to take the mace out through one specific door. There seems to be a machlokes beis shammai beis hillel, at least according to the Gemara's havamina, whether that can impact the rest of the doors, l'mafreya or not. And the Gemara wants to be told that on breira, and since beis hillel say that your machshava affects things, l'mafreya, because the Gemara understands that beis hillel is talking about misha yamas hamace, that after the mace died and you were metame everything in all of the doorways, afterwards the person can have machshava and then undo the tumma that was chal on all of the items in the rest of the doorways. The Gemara says, you see the beis hillel hold of breira. That is the Gemara's kasha. Now we have to understand, why is it in the first step of that Mishnah, before we discuss the machshava that the person has to go through one of the doorways, in the state where we do not yet know which door you're going to take it out of, why is it that we say that all of the doors are tmeim? There are two ways to understand this halacha. The pashat pshat is that it's a din suffik. Since we don't know which door you're going to use in order to take this mace out, it is tamei misuffik. However, Rabbi Kiva Eiger is medayik from the lashon of the Rosh and the Rash in Olis, that the tumma that's chal on all the doorways is not a tumma misafik. It's not that we say that really one of them right now is tumma, and we just don't know which one. So we therefore have to be noyik tumma with each and every one of them. Rather, the very fact that we're a misupik and we don't know which one of the doors it's going to go out through generates a din tumma vadai on all the doors. Because when you have one door that you know it's going to go out through, then we say the rest of the doors don't have a din pesach and don't have a halacha as if they are kipsuchim. But the moment that you don't know which door you're going to take the mace out through, each one has the option of taking the mace through, and the lashon of the Rosh is hilka chashivi kulon kipsuchim, meaning to say that the tumma is chal on everything that's in the house and in the chalal ha-pesach, in the doorway of the Pesach of this mace. The Pesach of this mace is the one that in the future it's going to go out through. If you don't know which one it's going to go out through, each one has a din of the Pesach of this mace, because each one has that suffix and it has the option of taking the mace through. That, says Rabbi Kiva Eiger, is a din vade. It's not a din suffix. And Rabbi Kiva Eiger proves that it has to be within vade and not within suffik, because he says that if it's really a suffik, one of these doors is really the tummy one, because the only one that's tummy is the one that in the future you actually are going to take the mace through, then we should really say the din of bittel beroiv. The majority of these psachim are tahorim, and therefore all the kalim that are inside the majority of the psachim are also tahorim. So it's really like one big taruvus. The kalim that are tmeim should be batal in the kalim that are tahorim. Even though he asks on himself that how could you say that? We know a dover chashev is not batal. And the answer is based on the idea that the Isser Veheter says that any time you have a dover chashev whose Isser was noilad bitaruvus, which means that the Isser came and was generated while it was already in the taruvus, it is batal. So if the mace died while the kalim were already in the doors, then we should say the din of bittel beroiv. Al-Karchuk says, Rabbi Kiva Eiger, it has nothing to do with the suffik. It's not because we're misupik which one is tamei. Rather, they're all tamei right now, since you have the option of bringing him through every one of the doors. However, Rabbi Shimon Shkup in the Shari Yosher, Shar Gimel, Perek Chav Beis, says that if that's the way you look at it, how is it possible later to be Mevara L'mafreya that only one of the doors is tamei? After all, you just told me that the option of bringing the mace through any one of these doors is what generates the tumah, and it generates a tumah vadois. So Bishlam, if you say that the reason why they're all tamei is misafik, then you could say that Breira can determine L'mafreya that your suffik is now answered. Before, we didn't know which door it was destined to go through. Later on, when you did bring it through one of the doors, you could say Hovra Adav L'mafreya, that that was the door that it was destined to go through. But if you tell me that the reason why all of them are tameim is not because there's a suffix that one of them happens to be tummy because it's destined to go through that door. Rather, the very fact that you don't know which door it's going to go through says that each one of them is tummy because the actual option to bring him through any one of the doors generates the tumah, then you cannot use the fact that later on it goes through one of the doors to say that it previously didn't have the option because it did have the option. You happen to have brought it through one of the doors, but the option still existed. So therefore, Reb Shimon learns that the din tumah that exists on all of the doors is a din misafik. How do we answer B'kiveger's kasha about bittel? If it's only within suffik, then why don't we say that the roiv, kalim, that are tahorim, should be mevatel, those that are tmeim? So the Tzemach David answers this kasha very simply. He says, based on the Chavis Das, in Simen Kuf Aleph, Sivkat and Hey, the Chavis Das explains a yisoid, that you never say bittel b'roiv, unless it's the ta'aruvis that creates the suffik. Isser falls into heter, the very fact that it fell in and became mixed with the heter is what generates the suffix. That's when you say bittel b'roiv. However, if the suffix is not because of the confusion that we have vis-a-vis other things, such as in our case, each door has its own independent suffix because we don't know if it's soifei lotzeis through that door. So it's not the taruvis, the confusion and the mixture with the other doors that causes it to be in a matzav of suffix. There, based on the yisoid of the Chavis Das, we don't say bittel b'roiv. And that requires a much more in-depth understanding of how bittel b'roiv works to understand why the Chavis Das would say such a thing. But that is the yisoid of the Chavis Das. Reb Shimon himself answers that in order to say bittel b'roiv, you have to have that the mi'ut and the roiv are different than each other. You need the roiv to overpower the mi'ut. So when you have iser falling into heter, vade iser falls into vade heter, then we have two forces that are up against each other, and since the heter is the roiv, the heter is mevatel the mi'ut. However, in our case, says Reb Shimon, it's inaccurate to say that there is one door that's vadei tamei and the rest of the doors are vadei tahorim. Because until the act happens later, that the person makes the decision to go through one of the doors, all of the doors are in the same boat. They're all suffik tameim. And since they're in the same boat, you cannot say bittel. Bittel requires opposing forces. You may ask that that's not really true. It's a farce. We have a suffik about it. But in reality, all of the doors are really tahar, except for one of them, which is really tameh, and we're just going to find out later which one was tameh all along. But in reality, only one door is really tameh now. Says Reb Shimon, that is an inaccurate way of looking at Breira. Because he says, until the decision is actually made to use one of the doors to take the mace out, that door does not yet have its din. It's a developmental thing. It's something that's developing right in front of our eyes. So until it actually happens, they're all in the same boat, and therefore he says, you cannot say bittel. If, for example, we were to find out now that only one of the doors was possible to take the mace through, then, of course, that was a reality that existed all along. But that's not what happened here. It was a decision that was made later. What's chal until that decision is that amongst this group of doors, one of them has to become tameh. So that's collectively chal on all the doors, and it remains to be determined at a later point. Memela says Reb Shimon, up until that later point, we look at all the doors as having the same exact din. They're all included in the suffek tumah. If all the doors are included in the same din, you cannot have bittel. The Mishnah says, Zimin Shchayrim Umatza Levanim, Levanim Umatza Shchayrim, if he was Mezamin blackbirds and he found white ones, or vice versa, or let's say he was Mezamin Shnayim Umatza Shloisha Asurim. You obviously have something there that you weren't Mezamin. The Gemara asks, Pshita. Of course it's Aser. How could it be Mutter without having Zimun? The Gemara answers, Amar Rabba Hachab Maeskine, Kigan Shezimin Shchayrim Ulevanim, he was Mezamin both blackbirds and white ones. The Hishkim Umatza Shchayrim B'Makam Levanim Ulevanim B'Makam Shchayrim. He wakes up the next morning and he finds white birds in the place that he previously had put the blackbirds, and he finds blackbirds in the place where the white birds were. Ma'uritema, I may think Hani Inu Ninu. These are the same birds. Visapuche Isapuch. They just switched places. Kamash Balan Hanach Azdu La'alma. The ones that he had before went away. The Hani Achrini Ninu. And these are other birds. The Gemara wants to bring a raya from here. Lema Maseyei Leilur B'Chanina. This should be a raya to B'Chanina. The Amr B'Chanina Roiv V'Karoiv Halei. If you have a choice to be toil something, that it came from a closer place, or it came from the majority, Reb Chanina says you go after the majority. And over here, if you're toil that they came me'alma, from someplace outside this Khan, then you're being toil on roiv. Asha'en Kain, if you say that these are the ones that you had yesterday, you're being toiled on kariv. Now we have to ask the following question. How do you see from here that the halacha is that when you have roiv against kariv, you go after roiv? Perhaps you don't have the right to be soimich on roiv. Rather, roiv and kariv are exactly equal. and then you're left in a matzav of suffik. You cannot be machriya using the karev or the roiv. But when you have a suffik muchan, the halacha is suffik muchan aser. And in fact, the Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Yom Tov Halacha Vav says the following: Zimin shcharim ulevanim umatzah shcharim b'makom levanim ulevanim b'makom shcharim asurim shani oimer shema oisan shezimin parchu lehem. Maybe the ones that he was mezamein flew away. Ve'elu acherim hein v'chol safek muchan aser. So the Rambam does say that it's because of safek muchan, but the problem is that the Rambam seems like he's going connected the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't say that it's because safek muchan. The Gemara says you could prove from here, like Rav Chanina, who says that you go after the roiv, and that's why it's aser. It's not because safek muchan. Furthermore, even if we didn't have our Gemara that says that you could prove Rav Chanina's din, it happens to be that we paskin like Rav Chanina. Then whenever you have roiv up against the karev, you go after the roiv. So if you paskin like Rav Chanina, then you definitely shouldn't say that it's because safek muchan aser. It's because we go after the roiv and we consider it like a vaday aser. So many achrayim ask this kasha: the Pnei Yeshua, the Tzlach, the Sfasemes, the Chsam Sofer, and other achrayim. Now the Pnei Yeshua answers very simply that it's impossible to say that the roiv and the karev are equal. He says because min hasvara, the roiv is definitely greater than karev, because in kol haTorah kula we go after the roiv. The only place that we find that we go after Karev is by Egla Rufa. We say that we assume that the murderer came from the closer city. So Reb Chanina, when he says Roiv Karev, you go after the Roiv, what he's trying to say is, don't say that there's a Gzeres HaKasev that Karev overrides Roiv. Rather, stick with the Svara that Roiv is better than Karev. And the Havana behind this is as follows. Roiv is a method of being Machria Asafik. It's learned that from the Pasuk of Acher Rabban Lahatos. Karev, on the other hand, even according to the Hava Minute, that you would go after Karev all over as opposed to Roiv, is not because Karev is Machria the Suffolk better than Roiv. Rather, the objective of Karev is to say that there is no Suffolk. Karev says that the close proximity of the city to the mace doesn't allow me to start thinking about other cities. The moment I do start thinking about other cities, I have the roiv being machriya, my suffix, so I have to go after the roiv. So karev is a method of saying, don't be mistapik. It's close enough to that city that you don't have to start thinking outside this one possibility. It tells me, do not be mistapik. Roiv is a way of dealing with something once I am a suffix. Therefore, to say that when you have roiv and karev, it is considered a suffix shakel, says the Pnei Yeshua, is an impossibility. Because you can have a suffix shakel if you have two ways of being machriya suffix. One way tells you be machriya like tzad A, and the other one tells you be machriya like tzad B. But if it's not two ways of being machriya suffix, rather, the karev tells me don't be mistapik, and the roiv tells me when I am mistapik, this is the psak, they can never fight against each other. Because if I'm already being mistapik, I know I have to paskin with the roiv. The karev only works up until the point that I'm mistapik. And this is an idea that Rabbi Chanan says in Bava Basra, Ois Ayin Ches, in the Kovitz Shiurim, that Karev may not be seen as a svara or a birer to a suffik, a way of being machriya my suffik, rather just not to be mistapik. However, not everybody agrees to this. In the Shiltas Derav Achai Goin, in Shiltas Samaches, he says the following gloshin. He says, Afagav deruba dairaisa, vikarev dairaisa, svara hu deruba shchiach yoiser mikarev. It sounds from his lashon that even the din of karev is like a birer of a suffik, and it's just a svara that roiv is more powerful. According to the way we're explaining al pi the Pnei Yeshua, it's not that roiv is more powerful than karev, it's that they work in two separate spheres. Karev is asking me not to be mistapik. The moment I am mistapik about it, and I have the roiv, there's no way for karev to win against the roiv, and there's not even a way for karev to be considered equal to the roiv. Now this would explain the Gemara, how the Gemara was able to prove, like Reb Chanina, that roiv a karev, you go after the roiv, and it's not begeder a suffik, and we say suffik muchan aser. We're still left, though, wondering what the pshat in the Rambam is, because the Rambam says that it is because of suffik muchan aser. So the Stipler in Bava Basra, Simen Tes Vav, Ois Beis, says that the pshat in the Rambam is that he understands that even though mid oiraisa, roiv a karev, roiv wins out against the karev, nevertheless, the karev is still capable of creating a reisa in the roiv, which also, by the way, is not like Reb Chanan, because he's saying that the karev casts a doubt on the roiv. It's not a foolproof roiv, since you do have the karev working in the opposite direction. What does this reisa accomplish? He says that it's negeya any safek derabbanan, because the rule is that safek derabbanan, you always go lekula, and you go lekula by a safek derabbanan, even if it's a very slim safek, even if the majority tzdadim show in the opposite direction that you should be machmir For example, if there's a Sfek Sfeika L'chumra, you still go L'kula. That's the Shittas HaRambam. Memela says the Stipler. Reb Chanina, who says Roiv HaKarev, you go after the Roiv, is by Dairaisis. You go Basa Roiv, because even though the Karev may cast a slight doubt on the Roiv, you still have the ability to paskin using the Roiv. When it's Negeh Drabbanans, then there's enough of a Suffolk to apply the principle of Suffolk Drabbanan L'kula. However, Suffolk Muchen is Usser. That's the one exception to the rule of Suffolk Drabbanan L'kula, is that Suffolk Muchen or Mukta is Usser. And that's why the Rambam says that the reason why it's Usser over here is because Suffolk Muchen is Usser. So we still have a riot to Reb Chanina, because Legabe any Din Dairaisa, the halacha will be that you go after the Roiv. Nevertheless, if we didn't have the din of Suffolk Muchen Usser, since Muktzah is a Drabbanan, then we wouldn't be able to paskin with the Roiv. Because Legabe Dinam Drabbanan, we said that the Karev is capable of casting enough of a doubt on the Roiv to create a matzav of Suffolk. So the Rambam needs to bring in the rule of Suffolk Muchen Usser to explain that although this is a din Drabbanan, and generally speaking, the Karev is effective enough to cast a doubt on my Roiv and create a Suffolk, so that Legabe all Dinam Drabbanan, we say Suffolk Drabbanan Lakul. Nevertheless, since Muktzah, we have a rule that Suffolk Muchen Usser, so it's Usser over here as well.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.